Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Pomp and Joe Show. I'm Jason Mackey, filling in for the guys. Austin Bechtold producing behind the glass. Talking a little college football this hour. And we're going to go out to the fan hotline to bring in Max Ralph of the Harrisburg Patriot News to talk a little Penn State and the Nittany Lions victory over Boise State. Max, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, Jason. I'm doing well. Glad to hear from you again.
Yeah. Glad we could link up and do this. How was the trip?
So, believe it or not, I didn't make the trip.
Boo! I thought you did.
I'll be out in Miami next week, but no. Actually wasn't in Phoenix. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the Nittany Lions instead and what led to that. This run defense, we knew it was going to be good. We knew it was going to be a part of this thing. I didn't expect them to shut down Ashton Jeanty the way they did. Did you? Did it come as a surprise, and what led to it?
You know, I don't know that it came as a huge surprise. They played Oregon obviously earlier in the year, and he had a good game against Oregon. But the Mountain West does not have the same level of athletes across the defensive front that Penn State does. And I think when you look at what Devon J. Thomas and Zane Durant did in that game, it's not necessarily a surprise. Like, he still got over 100 yards too. It wasn't efficient. I had a feeling he'd hit the century mark, but I'm not necessarily surprised at all that Penn State slowed him. I think that what Tom Allen has done in the latter half of the season, ever since he gave over the not the play calling duties, but the in headset microphone duties to Dan Connor and went up into the booth, he has just been lights out. And I just think Penn State was much more talented up front than Boise State.
Max, you tweeted something this morning about Nolan Rucci being part of their offensive line, one of the most improved players. Wondering if you could expound on that. And, I mean, they have two 1,000-yard backs, Nick Singleton and Catron Allen. Not that I'm telling you anything you don't know, but what has led to this success? I'm guessing Nolan Rucci has been a part of it.
Absolutely, Rucci's been a part of it. And as much as I love what Rucci has done, it's not to take away from the guy whose spot he took over, Anthony Donko, was having a really good season at right tackle, too, before his injury. But Rucci, the thing with him, in all of his years at Wisconsin, his 3 years over there, he was really struggling to add weight and to be able to be in a position where physically he could handle the Big Ten competition that he needed to at right tackle. He comes over to Penn State. He gets up to over 300 easily. I think he's up to 315 now. Don't quote me on that. But his body looks better. He, in his 6'8 frame, and trust me, he is a true 6'8. The kid is a giant.
Yeah.
But he looks better in his frame. And you can see it on the field, too. He's playing with so much more balance than he was when he was in a rotational role, earlier in the year behind Donko. Now that he's the first guy in there playing every snap, it looks like he has better chemistry too with Sal Wormley at right guard. Like last night, they broke a huge play. Excuse me, two nights ago, broke a huge play where Rucci and Wormley both pulled around to the left side and really sealed off that C gap for Singleton or Allen to run through. I can't remember which player it was, but he's athletic. And he's filled out his body. And honestly, I think part of it just comes with how much he's playing. He looks more comfortable. And then as far as the two running backs go, yeah, Jason, the huge thing with them, they're healthy. I mean, Nick Singleton missed a game earlier this year. He was banged up later in the season, too. And, like, having some time off between the playoff and the Big Ten championship, having a little bit of more than a week in between playoff games, Nick Singleton is healthy, looks it on that 58-yard touchdown, and Catron Allen, the dude is just, he's a mauler. Like, there's no other way to put it. He is
He's an angry runner. He wants to run through you every single time. And with the way this offensive line has gelled up front, paired with their health, that's why this run game looks so good.
You're listening to the Pomp and Joe Show. I'm Jason Mackey, and for the guys, we're chatting with Max Ralph of the Harrisburg Patriot News. Max, of course, covers Penn State. And Max, before you came on here, we were talking a little bit about Drew Aller and his up and down stuff season, showing signs, showing areas where he still needs to grow. Austin and I agreed that he made the right move staying in school. Hope he does. I think that's going to be really big for him, and I'll be curious to see what happens when he does come out in the next draft. Where are you at with Drew? What have your impressions been of him so far in the college football playoff?
Yeah, I actually just had a long conversation with my colleague, Johnny McGonigal, this morning about Drew. I agree with you. I think he made the right decision. I think there's a very outside chance that he could still declare for the draft, depending on, like, if he just absolutely shines in the last two games. But I do think that the correct decision is for him to come back, because you saw kind of the perfect encapsulation of who he is as a quarterback right now against Boise State. That first quarter, he was playing like he could have been the number one pick in the 2025 draft. I mean, he was that good. The touchdown to Tyler Warren was an elite throw. The touchdown to Omari Evans was a great throw. And then even later in the game, the second touchdown to Warren was a great throw too. He really teases you with his arm talent over and over and over again. He can play, he can throw any ball on the field. The problem is, like, every now and then we've heard he gets kind of happy feet in the pocket. Seems like, especially against Boise State, with a lot of the blitz packages they were sending and everything, wasn't picked up great up front. He wasn't necessarily helping in that effort, and was struggling to read things quickly enough in the pocket. And I think those are the spots where he can grow the most next season. But as far as his arm talent goes and his control of the game right now, I mentioned, like, all season we've seen him get really heated on the sideline, and not like at coaches or players or anything, mostly at himself, because he knows exactly what play is being run and how it should be run, et cetera, et cetera. He's in great control of this offense. So I think when you look from last year to this year, and especially right now in the playoffs, the growth that he's made has come in a lot of different ways, and especially with his demeanor and his understanding of the offense. So now, if he comes back next year, what he really has to do is just the nuts and bolts of his game, like polish those throws, polish his reads, and he'll be, I mean, I have no doubt in my mind he'll be a first-round pick.
Max, what did you sort of take from the Ohio State victory? Me personally, that the Buckeyes are on one heck of a roll, and I'm not sure I'd ever want to see them in the college football playoff, but what was your takeaway from that one yesterday?
It's tough because, I mean, obviously given the circumstances, like, you can understand why, but Oregon did win the second half against them. But, like, that start, I'm not sure that any team can emotionally handle that kind of start from an opponent. Like, Oregon, you give up those long touchdowns right away. You just can't come back from that. And I don't think that this is any discredit to Oregon right now. Like, I still think that they were fully deserving of the number one seed for no argument at all. I mean, they were 13-0. I watched them in person in the Big Ten Championship. They're a great team. I think Ohio State, the best thing that ever happened to them was losing to Michigan, because Ryan Day, it seems like he just kind of, like, decided to throw everything out the window in terms of trying to run the ball, establish physicality, play like a Big Ten team. And he says, okay, we have probably the greatest wide receiver prospect maybe in history, at least in the last 10 to 20 years, and we're just going to use him like that. And so, like, it just seems like they've had a philosophy switch. Their defense is so veteran and playing angry right now. I certainly would be scared of Ohio State if I was on their path to the playoffs. And, you know, to relate it back to the Penn State angle, the team held them to 20 points. So, you know, I think Penn State matches up well with them, and I'd love to see that matchup in the championship again.
Couple more minutes with Max Ralph of the Harrisburg Patriot News. You can follow Max on X at @MaxRalph_. Again, talking Penn State football here. The perception of Penn State, Max, I think they've overcome any sort of frustration that existed about not winning big games. I could be wrong, too. To me, you win two games in the college football playoff and you get to the national semifinals, that should count for something. Do you think that's, you're out there more than me, you live there.
Is that an amenable opinion, or is that maybe a little bit too far down the road? Just what do you make? Did they erase those sort of questions?
I think my stance is that you can look at this season specifically as a categorical success right now. Preseason, the goal was simply to make the college football playoff, kind of move the goalposts a little bit when you see they draw SMU and Boise State. And you say, well, these are two teams they should beat and be in the national semifinal. Well, guess what? They did it. So those are good things. So far, this is exactly how it was supposed to go. And that's a credit to James Franklin and everybody on his team. I mean, they have handled business here. I do maybe balk a little bit at saying that the big game James sarcasm stuff is gone, because I think these are still classified as games that he was supposed to win, which he wins. Like, he wins games he's supposed to win unequivocally. And I think, still reiterating my first point, like, this season is a success. They have gotten as far as they were supposed to. Everything after this is pretty much gravy. But I'm not sure, I'm not ready yet to say Penn State has, like, arrived and broken the big game stigma right now, because there's a much bigger game coming in the Orange Bowl than this one is right now, that would have been against Boise State.
Max Ralph, thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
Of course, Jason, anytime.
All right, take care. Max Ralph from the Harrisburg Patriot News. Appreciate him joining us to talk all things Penn State and college football. I know this, I cannot wait for the Sugar Bowl in a couple of hours. Again, as Austin said, 4 o'clock this afternoon. Plenty to get into, digest, and enjoy there.